Welcome to Who Are You? The Life Lessons of Sports, Episode 5.
Welcome to Who Are You? The Life Lessons of Sports with your host, Rob Elwood. Join us as we open the door and take an unforgettable journey to unlock the full power of sports on and off the field. Listen to personal stories and reflections from incredible leaders who are sure to move and inspire you. So listen and enjoy another episode of Who Are You? The Life Lessons of Sports.
Calling all listeners, have you ever wanted to go behind the scenes with extraordinary people in the world of sports? Well, now you can. After you listen to this episode, you can get bonus access for free to some of the best personal stories you will ever hear from our incredible guests. From playing in the Super Bowl to overcoming seemingly insurmountable odds, you will not want to miss this special feature of the show. Don't forget to visit whoareyousports.com and join the thousands of people who have already signed up and officially become a part of Who Are You Nation. Want to be a guest on the show? You or someone you refer could be selected to be a featured guest on the podcast, The Life Lessons of Sports. Submit your story today by clicking the Get Your Game Face On icon. Whether you're submitting your story or signing up for exclusive access, you will receive an official pair of This Is My Game Face iBlack. If you haven't already done so, you're going to want to take advantage of this limited offer and get your game face on today. Well now, bring in the drums. It's time to get started. Kevin Donahue is a Spartan Race podium athlete and an ultra beast. He is in the top 20 in the world for Spartan Racing, a grueling obstacle course that is known for its incredibly difficult and demanding courses, including what's known as the Ultra Beast Marathon. Kevin is appreciated and recognized globally not only for his incredible endurance, but also for his leadership in sports performance, his dedication to special needs athletes, as well as his outdoor adventure instruction. Do you oftentimes face obstacles? Well, Kevin overcomes obstacles for a living. Kevin's story is amazing and inspirational. At just 5'5", 155 pounds, Kevin is one of the toughest athletes in the world. Listen to how Kevin joined and is now dominating one of the fastest growing sports in the entire globe that includes grueling events challenging both your overall athleticism and your will to push through adversity. This exclusive interview opens the door to Kevin's story about his most challenging choice in his life and what he did thereafter, which truly helps underscore a significant reason I personally started this podcast, Who Are You? The Life Lessons of Sports. For an amazingly tough guy, Kevin shares emotional and motivational insights into his journey and will no doubt encourage you to get out there and hurdle your own obstacles, whatever those may be. When he is not competing, Kevin designs and motivates his own clients through workouts that push them to reach their own personal best while offering nutritional advice and healthy lifestyle choices. Whether it's in the great outdoors, over the web, or in your own home, Kevin finds the key to bringing out the best in you. Who Are You Nation? Kevin is coming in with full positive energy as a co-owner of Gladiator Sports, an ultramarathoner, a national and New York State champion powerlifter, a former college football player, and an extreme skier. So hold on tight, because you better be ready to be a Spartan with our featured guest today, Kevin Donahue. Okay, Who Are You Nation? I am extremely honored to introduce our special guest today, Kevin Donahue. Kevin, are you ready to put your game face on and join our team?
Oh, it's on. It's on, and I'm ready to join the team.
I can tell. You are firing me up. Let's get started. Kevin, I just gave a brief introduction about you, but please, take a moment, introduce yourself, and let Who Are You Nation know what you're up to these days.
Oh, that was pretty thorough. Again, my name is Kevin, and currently I'm trying to recover from my New Year's polar bear plunge that I took in the lake yesterday. I'm blessed enough to live on this awesome lake, and I got dared yesterday to cut open the ice with an axe. So I'm got a little bit of the shivers right now, a little bit of the sniffles, but I'm ready for this interview. And just trying to do a couple of things that are keeping me ready for the training that I have to do and getting ready for next season.
Fantastic. Wow. Polar bear plunge, something that I will cheer for the rest of my life. I cannot say that I will be in the water with you one day, though.
I don't know. I might have to like rope you into it.
All right. Well, maybe if it's for a good cause, I'll go out there and do it. Well, that sounds fantastic. And you have so much going on right now between Gladiator Sports, your new training facility, obviously, and then, of course, you're competing. How do you manage all of this?
Luckily, I'm blessed to have a lot of friends that help support me, especially sponsors that I have. New Jersey Health Sports and Chiropractic, and they're basically founders of the Elite Performance Team, and what they are is a team of doctors who kind of keep me ready to run and ready to jump over the walls and climb through the mud and climb ropes and flip tires, all the crazy stuff I have to do. So I'll come in and they'll give me massages, hydrotherapy. I'm able to come in, get my back cracked, and they just do so many things, not only physically, but financially, to help me out and to keep me moving around to all the races I got to get to. And I'm lucky enough to have a sponsor called Thunder Sports Nutrition, and they help me get a lot of the nutrition I need in my body, as well as supporting me financially and just kind of help moving me around the country so I can get to where I got to go. But between those two sponsors and Jumpstart Therapy, I'm able to get the support I need to move around, because there's not a whole lot of money in professional obstacle course racing yet. It's getting there. But right now, I'm like lucky to break even with all the winnings that I get. So I really need the support of those three companies, and it really helps me out.
And so important. And I love how they also are actually supporting what you are doing physically as well. It sounds like a great match. Do us a favor, Kevin. This sport is relatively new, and I've been reading a lot about Tough Mudder. That's the off-the-shelf name that you hear sometimes. Of course, I've heard of Spartan Race. But walk us through for a second. Like, what is Spartan Race? What are you up against? Walk us through the challenges you face just to set the tone.
Yeah, Spartan Race, out of all of them, Spartan Race and Atlas Race, both together, they force you to be a hybrid athlete. You can't just be a strong runner. You just can't be a strong man who could lift a ton of weight. You just can't be someone who's quick and fast, and you can't be just somebody who's like a gymnast who's agile. You have to be a combination of all those things. And through this race, what they do is not only they challenge you through all those different areas of physicality and athleticism, but they also challenge your will. We had the Spartan World Championships up in Vermont this year. It's the end of September. So we're running in cold temperatures. As the day goes on, the weather is getting hot. You're running up and down mountains where you're dodging tree branches and you're jumping over ruts that are covered in moss. And if you step in, you could break your leg. You're carrying sandbags up hills. You're climbing ropes. You're climbing ropes after you swim across a lake, and you're climbing up the rope out of the water, then entering back into the water after traversing walls that require maximum dexterity from your fingers and your toes, which are already starting to go numb from the cold weather. And then on top of that, you're forced to crawl underneath barbed wire that's using every single kind of muscle that you could think of. And everybody just thinks, oh yeah, you're going under the wire and you're just kind of getting dirty. But if you're doing this for time and you're competing, just like you're doing anything in life, it's forcing you to go as hard as you can. And when you're forced to use every single muscle in your body, not only when you're trying to do it for muscular strength, but you're also doing it for muscular endurance. And then you're also trying to be nimble and agile at the same time and hold that together for the entire course of a race. It's very difficult. You would think that fewer people would actually do it, but on the quite the contrary, it is the fastest growing sport in the world. And Spartan Race and Atlas Race and Tough Mudder, they're the leaders as far as popularity. Now, Tough Mudder, there's more of a challenge. It's more for fun. But Atlas Race and Spartan Race, those are the two where when you do that race, you're going against some of the top athletes in the sport. And what it is drawing from the top athletes in the world. And at the World Championships this year, there was a lot of Olympians out there, a lot of professional athletes from other sports crossing over into this to give it a shot.
What an amazing, amazing sport. And truly, I could see how it's catching on. And I'm sitting here as you speak, and I think I've changed my mind. I will go into the polar bear plunge, but I don't know if I'm going to compete in one of these events.
I would say do one of the events before the polar bear plunge.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not only are you going to have a great time, and you're going to learn every time you do a race, you learn something new about yourself. There's not a single race I've done where I haven't been challenged in some different kind of way. And you'll meet some of the greatest people that you will ever meet in your life at these races. Some of the deepest friendships I've created over my lifetime, I've made over the last 3 years through doing obstacle course racing, particularly in Spartan Race Series. That's the one I've done the most.
Okay, you've changed my mind, but I'm going to need a coach, Kevin, so you got to be there for me.
I will be there for you.
Thank you.
Come on over. My house is like a training facility. We can hop right into it.
I heard, you know, we're going to share your website, or I think it was a YouTube, but there's a beautiful, beautiful piece there, a short one, that shows your house and your dogs, and you're out there and you're training. It's wonderful. It is inspiring. So we'll make sure we put that into your show notes here. So listen, Kevin, to get our interview off the ground and to really put your game face on, could you please share a motivational or inspirational quote and what it's meant to you along your journey?
You know, that's a great question. It's something that I've thought about over the last couple of years, and it finally just clicked in my head about a year ago. And my quote is, it's not our accomplishments that make us successful. It's how our accomplishments benefit the lives of others that we really measure our success.
And I know, speaking before the show here, you're going to share some stories with us that are going to reflect back on that exact quote. So what a great quote. Is this a quote that is out there from a name that we would know, or is this just something that you picked up on along the way?
This is something that I came up with myself. And, you know, when you're having one of those moments where you're in the car or you're laying in bed at night and you got your eyes open and you're just in deep thought, well, this finally just came to me, and it really reflected a lot of, like you said, some of the stories I'll share with you later.
Great. Bring us back to your childhood. Where did all this athleticism start? And what I mean by that is about 12 years old, inside your house, what's going on in your family? And then how did you get so involved into sports?
You know, it's funny. I always grew up, I always had a sense of being an athlete from the earliest time. There's not one day in my life that I didn't identify myself as being an athlete, whether it was as a child running up, you know, playing Little League and then running through the woods and riding my bike and building forts and playing football in the front yard. But there is that point where you know that you're, all right, I'm destined to do this, and I feel like I have the confidence and the ability that I could be better than a lot of other people that I'm around, and this is something that truly sets me apart, makes me special. I got to say, I went to parochial school as a kid, and we had about an hour of recess every day, and, you know, we have our Catholic school uniforms on, I got my tie on, my nice pleated pants, and you have your button-down white shirt. And we would play a game called Kill the Guy or Kill the Carrier out in, you know, the recreational yard. And any time I picked up the ball, I would want to have the ball. A lot of kids did not want to have the ball because they didn't want to get hit. I wanted to have the ball the whole time, and I wanted to run through people. I wanted to run over them. I wanted to run around them. And I wanted to have it the whole time. I never wanted to drop it. And I would try to keep it for as long as I possibly can. And finally, when I got taken down, I would run after the next kid, hit him as hard as I could, steal the ball back, and then do it again. And after a while, the other kids just did not want to play with me. They didn't want to do it. At that point, I was still the same size as all the other kids, but it was just that attitude that I just thought I was better at that game, and then I wanted to be the person who had everything revolve around. And you know what? It just took off from there, and I gravitated towards football when I got into high school, and I had an amazing time with that. And it was the first time I was really engulfed in a team sport where, you know, you have your brothers on the team and you're working out together all year long. And I, you know, had a lot of success with that. I had some great mentors through that sport, and that really laid the foundation, not only my athletic career, but a lot of my relationships and friendships throughout my life, and really set the tone for, you know, who I am today.
I loved all the sports that you played, including, I believe it was called Kill the Carrier, just for make sure we get this one down. It's so important, especially as we look back today, and this is a common topic on our show, Kevin, and I'm curious on your thoughts, where we have a lot of athletes that are specializing, even at the age of 9 and 10 years old, and the mindset of the parents or the coaches of those who are directing them this way is, well, if you don't do it now and you don't get focused on one sport, you're just not going to make it. I don't know about you, but I grew up playing 3-4 sports. I absolutely loved it. I would always get out there and do whatever the equivalent to Kill the Carrier was, go out and do it and just have fun. I promise you that for me, I was lucky enough to play, and I was Division III, but played baseball and football in college. I had a great time, and it really was because of all those other sports that came together for me that allowed me balance and new friendships and new coaches and new experiences. So what is your thought on your single sport athletes these days? What would your message be to parents?
Yeah, I'm definitely not a proponent of single sport athletes. You need to have that balance. I think the problem is parents, they want the best for their kids, you know, and that's where it starts. It starts from a good place, and they want to give their child the best opportunity they have to compete in the sport at the time that child wants. But we all know growing up that you change your interests. I mean, I wanted to hit like Darryl Strawberry when I was 12 and 13 years old. By the time I got to high school, I could care less about baseball anymore. And I love baseball, but as far as playing the sport, I didn't really like it too much anymore. But as a kid growing up, you know, when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all I wanted to do was play baseball. But my parents gave me the options to do all these other things. So I wasn't just thrown into playing baseball all the time. I was forced to, you know, I had to go out. If I wanted to stay busy, I had to go out and play pickup football. I had to go out and play pickup soccer. I had to go out and swim and run and ride my bike and do all those other things and not have so much time dedicated to just one singular sport. And what that did is it allowed me to diversify, but also find new things about myself. It's just like your education. You wouldn't go to school and just teach a kid math or just put them in music class. You have to have this broad range of all these other things that you need to be good at. And as you get older and you really start to identify with yourself and learn who you are, that athletic ability is going to take over. You know, and you see it all the time. You see guys that, you know, they'll play basketball like their whole life and they don't really do anything else. And then they realize when they get to college, you know what, my ability would actually be good maybe on the football field. And what has happened, you see some of the best tight ends that the NFL has ever seen are ex-basketball guys that really couldn't cut it in college, a basketball player, and they go on and become Pro Bowlers in the NFL.
Yep.
So I really feel that you're doing the children a disservice by hammering one sport at them all the time because you never know what they're going to like in 3 years. And if they really love baseball that much, they're going to be able to pick up the skill sets necessary as their bodies change once they get into high school and beyond.
Well, what a great life lesson right there. And I actually love, I haven't heard that before. It's interesting, but it's so obvious. I love your analogy to school. Of course you wouldn't go to just one class over and over again. You're so right. And just your example of playing baseball, where else are you going to learn that hand-eye coordination that baseball provides? So there, boom, a little segment of your life in there in baseball. Basketball teaches you a little bit about shooting and spatial awareness. Boom, football, aggressiveness. And all of a sudden, like you said, it all starts to add up. And I do believe, as you mentioned, we miss out on that when we do focus. So parents of Who Are You Nation, coaches, please support this endeavor that Kevin and I are speaking about right now because it's so, so important. And the both of us have played multiple sports. It led us to pretty good places. So I know there's many others that we can look at, but I think it's so, so important.
And I tell you what, it's a lot more fun that way too.
Isn't it? Isn't it? I mean,
it's
just
so much more fun.
Yeah. Totally. And you don't get burnt out, number one. Number two, you're meeting new friends. Number three is I think it's so important to get these, you get different coaches, and different coaches give different coaching styles. It doesn't mean they're going to be great. Doesn't mean they're going to be awful. But you get to understand and interact with people in a way that you wouldn't if you're just playing on that same team, which happens with those same players, with that same coach for years. And listen, not all of us are going to the professional level. So then what happens when we get out, we go to school, and then we're in the workforce. And once again, we sort of have this attitude of specialization as opposed to your analogy when you get to the NFL, hey, I'm ready to play any position. I just want to get out there and do it. And in the business world or in life, when you're out there in the real world working, it's, hey, wherever the opportunity is, let me have it. And that's the leaders. Those are the team leaders, the team managers. Those are the people that really rise to the top, in my opinion, and lead others. So it's a great point. So question for you here. I always like this question. Did you have a job before or during high school? And if so, what was it and what did you learn from it?
I tell you what, I was so focused on just playing athletics. I was playing three sports a season. I was playing football in the fall, doing winter track, and I was either doing baseball or spring track. And when I wasn't doing that, I was lifting for football. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to necessary work. Other than that, I mowed a lot of lawns. I cut a lot of grass. That's how I made some extra cash, was just cutting grass and doing yard work. I really didn't have my first, I didn't fill out my first W-2 until I was the end of my senior year in high school when I was about ready to move on to college. I was so dedicated just to doing sports. My parents were really cool about it. Because the fact of the matter was, I didn't even care about driving a car. I was like, forget it. I don't want to put the time and the effort into paying insurance and having to save a ton of cash for that stuff. I just want to play sports. I want to focus on that. That's what's important to me now. So other than cutting grass, my job was actually just exercising.
that is a job in itself, especially at that age. And if you're fortunate enough to do it, definitely take advantage of it. But I will say that mowing lawns and raking leaves and all that, that is a job to me. And it teaches you self-discipline. It teaches you to go knock on doors and say, hey, I can do this for this price and collect money. And I think it's all so important. Yeah. Transient knowledge, as I like to say, as we go off into our lives and build that confidence in a different way. Good stuff. So when did it click? We talked about it a little bit here, but when did it click for you where these challenges, these Spartan races, these events, that these were for you? This is what you're going to pursue, and this is what is going to be one of the main focuses of your life.
You know, it was the first time I did one. It was in June of 2011, and I had just got done doing, I think it was like my fourth or fifth ultra marathon. And so I was really good at trail running at that point, but the other trail runners that I was running with, they'd be these longer, leaner, lankier, you know, guys and girls. And then I'm only about 5'5", I weigh about 100, 155 pounds, and I'm built more like a fire plug. I mean, thick legs, thick arms, thick chest and back. And I was able to go out and be a quality ultramarathon runner, but I had all these other abilities, and I felt like, you know what, like, this is great, but they had just had something where I could run and jump and pull myself over things, I'm going to be awesome. And I'm sitting at a gas station, and a local police officer came up to me and threw me a Spartan Race t-shirt, and he said, hey, this race is coming down the road to Tuxedo, New York, you should do it. And I saw it. I'm like, this is great. So I checked online. This is what I've been waiting my whole life for. I could run. I could jump, climb over walls, flip tires, you know, carry buckets of gravel up and down the hill, crawling into barbed wire, throwing spears for accuracy. I'm like, this has my name written all over it. So I went out and did the race and came in fourth the first time I ever went out there.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know what? This is for me. Everything I've done in my life athletically, that's basically just led me to that point. And, you know, going back to like specialization, if I'd just been doing one sport, like one skill sport or football or baseball, I wouldn't have had the athletic diversity to go into this confidently and actually have the fitness level I needed to do it. All those aspects from all those different sports I had done got kind of brought together into one sport where I could do really, really well. And I fell in love with it. Unfortunately, I hurt my foot. I tore some fascia and did some nerve damage a month after that race and missed most of the rest of that season and a half of 2012. But came back in 2012, had a strong year, and then 2013 was really the year where I jumped onto the scene and did really well. But that one race in 2011, one time, got out there, fell in love with it, and never looked back.
So cool. I love the fact that this is, as you said, really fast-growing sport. And I am sure, just like yourself, a lot of people in the next year or two are going to be trying for the first time. And I'm sure they're going to love it just as much as you are. It doesn't matter what the results are. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing it.
You know what's great about it, too? I mean, we've all been at professional football games and baseball games or NBA. Your average athlete or your spectator is just sitting there watching. When you come to a Spartan race or an Atlas race or another obstacle course race, you're able to get out there and do the same exact course with the pros. And the pros, I tell you what, everybody's so down to earth. We'll get out there after the race and we'll do it over again with a lot of the people that are just doing it for a personal challenge. They just want to do it for fun. From the 70-year-old lady that wants to get out there and try it for the first time to the 15-year-old kid, to the mom with three children or the family that's doing together, we all equally have just amount of much fun. And we're all challenged in our own ways. So it really brings everybody together. It's a very, very unique sport.
I'm going to switch topics for a second, Kevin. As we all know, we're all faced throughout our lives with choices. Sometimes they're great choices, and sometimes they're very risky or difficult ones. Could you please tell us a story when you were faced with a risky choice and why you chose that path, and of course, what was the outcome?
I got one. There's a couple of them, but I definitely have one story with over the last 5 years. I'm also an extreme skier. I like hiking up into dangerous areas with my skis on my back and doing a lot of alpine mountaineering. But I really love to ski. And 5 years ago, I was training for a trip out to Chamonix, France, and I was up in northern Vermont trying to, you know, hike, you know, some dangerous lines and skiing some very technical, dangerous terrain. My confidence was at an all-time high. And sometimes confidence as an athlete, it could work against you. Because if you think you're bulletproof, the second you think you're bulletproof, that's when you find out that you're mortal.
Right.
I made a choice to jump off about, you know, about a 25-foot cliff into a a very steep sloping transition area that would dissipate my force as I descended from this cliff. Unfortunately, where I landed had a shallow snowdrift with a flat area. So if you can imagine jumping off the low telephone lines in front of wherever house you live in and then landing on the cement without knowing that you're going to land on the cement, that's what it was like. Ugh. My head snapped. I mean, I was wearing a helmet, but my head snapped down and my knees came up and I compressed and my face bounced right off my knee. Ugh. And it shattered my face like a pinata. And my jaw got pushed back into my mouth. And you know, we all have that proprioception of where we are in space. So if you have your eyes closed, you could do it right now if you're listening. You could touch your nose, you know, with your finger or touch your ear. Well, I went to go touch my jaw, and my hand just went right past my face because it wasn't there anymore. And the next thing you know, I feel like I have what's pebbles in my mouth. It wasn't pebbles. It was my teeth. So I had teeth, like about five teeth in the back of my mouth that just exploded like popcorn. But because of the compression, I was aware of the whole thing the whole time. I didn't get knocked out. I didn't even see stars. No concussion. So I got up, spit my teeth into my mouth, put them in my pocket, and you know, I'm still in the middle of the woods. I got to get out of there. Wound up, long story short, wound up skiing out of there and had a 7-hour car ride home. You know, popped two Aleve. You'd think I'd be in more pain, but it actually wasn't that bad. It was just more uncomfortable, and I was in more pain emotionally because you're like, well, you know, like, am I going to look the same way? Is a girl ever going to want to kiss me again? You know, I mean, what's this mean for me going for the rest of my life? Am I going to have to drink through a straw? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea until I get to the hospital and get a CAT scan and get fixed up. So on that car ride home, I just started thinking about that choice. I'm like, you know, what led me to do that? And it was just vanity. I just wanted to be, you know, I just wanted to be a tough guy in my own mind. I wanted to do stuff that most people couldn't do. And I just wanted to prove something to myself and to, you know, anybody who's going to hear about it. And it was the worst, one of the worst choices I ever made from that standpoint. But any bad choice you make, you have the opportunity to make good out of that. And I was reflecting on that the whole ride home and just thought about my reasons for doing what I did. And none of them had to do with helping anybody else. Nothing that I was doing athletically at that point or jumping off that cliff was going to benefit anybody else. The only thing that was going to benefit was my own ego. Right. So I really thought about it on the ride home, and I thought about it in the hospital, and I thought about it as I was recovering with screws and wires and plates and titanium in my face in the next 3.5 weeks that, the stuff that I'm doing, if I'm not doing it to really benefit anybody else, it's hollow. It's shallow. It means nothing. It's doing the world no good. Now, I wasn't put on this earth to collect plaques and, you know, have medals on my walls. So what are those medals doing? What are those plaques doing? What are any of my athletic accomplishments doing to better the lives of others? And I made the choice that from now on, anything I do, there better be some reason that I'm using it to help others. Otherwise, it's useless, and I'm wasting a lot of the gifts, these God-given talents that God gave me. And if I don't do them and I don't use them to help other people, then they're wasted, and they mean nothing. And since then, I've met some of the best people that I'll ever meet in my life through, you know, charitable endeavors that I've gotten that all go back to that day.
Wow.
That all go back to that day, December 14th, 2008, you know, just a little more than 5 years ago. And it changed my life. It was one of those wrong decisions that I was able to, fortunately, turn into something good.
What a story that is. Not only going through it and becoming healthy again, but also that realization of what you're doing and why you're doing it. There's a famous quote by Maya Angelou who says, no one's going to remember what you said. No one's really going to remember what you did, but everybody's going to remember how you made them feel. And that's such a...
So right.
Right? Isn't that such... It's such an apropos comment to what you just said and your realization. And even going back to how you were explaining after the race, you would go up and help others and you and the other professional athletes and figure out why they're there. And such a common bond of being at the race. And that's, you know, they're going to remember that. They're going to remember that forever. They're not going to remember that you won the race.
I tell you what, you know what? Some of the biggest stars in our sport are the ones that you'll never see near a podium. They're I have a close friend, her name's Amanda Sullivan, and she was in a terrible car accident and had some very severe injuries. And she completes every single race on crutches. Sometimes it takes her upwards of 12 to 13 hours to complete some of these events. And she does it with a smile on her face the whole time. I mean, there's incredible people like her that I meet at every single event, and those are the people that inspired me. And she'll never come close to, you know, doing a podium, but she's an absolute rock star. And you go to any event, and she's the one that everybody wants to talk to. They don't care about me; they want to talk to Amanda. Our sport is just, fortunately, we're loaded with wonderful people just like that that take something bad that happened in life and turn it into something good.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about what we do is, you know, anytime you have a platform to share that with other people and give it back, you got to do it.
I'm going to go a little off topic here. There's so many life lessons we're pulling out of this. I mean, what's the future for you, and what's the future for this sport, and how are you going to be able to, as you just mentioned, give back and make others feel involved and be involved due to your efforts?
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about the sport that it's growing and changing every day, and the more diverse people we get involved in the sport, the more perspectives we have coming in. There is going to be angles of people doing races that I haven't even thought of yet. So the combinations of the kind of wonderful people that we're going to having come to these events, it's going to be infinite. But I know for sure that a lot of the race here, specifically Spartan Race, has made a huge effort to include our, you know, disabled athletes, athletes with challenges, whether they're physical challenges, whether they're our athletes that come back from the war and have missing appendages. I've done races with friends of mine that have certain social and cognitive challenges, such as autism and Asperger's, where we're getting that community more involved into doing these races. It's really limitless. The amount of, I just say, like, altogether, like, adapted or challenged athletes that we have coming in every single year. This year, I'm sure it's just going to be off the charts how many new people we have. There's a lot of other ways that we could use this to benefit people's lives. I mean, trying to get kids in that, because the great thing about this sport, all you need is a pair of shorts and sneakers. So we're trying to get children who are probably maybe underprivileged that don't have the ability to, you know, have mom and dad pay X amount of dollars for their football equipment and the insurance that comes with that. But they come to our races and they could run and they could learn about themselves. That child that maybe comes from a disadvantaged home could come out and do a race, and they could find self-worth, and they could make friends, and they could find a sport that they could do that's going to really help their confidence and build lifelong friendships and lifelong lessons that could take them going for the rest of their lives. So, again, like I probably said this about 3 or 4 times, but the amount of people, new perspectives we have on this sport, they're infinite. It really is.
What great vision for the future. And I do, especially those kids, like you said, who don't have opportunities. You're right. Gosh, what a great opportunity to learn about oneself. And listen, we all have that competitive nature. We really do. It's just about how does it come out. And I think this is such a really neat event at a youth level to get somebody motivated, teach self-discipline, and be around others where you can look up and say, hey, there's a mentor, not only just for what they can do, but also, like you said, it's a down-to-earth atmosphere, and we start to bond with those people. So now, you had mentioned before the show, we were talking a little bit, how you're going to get more involved. I am curious. You mentioned there may be a plot of land near you where you're going to be building a facility or something of that sort so that you can get more involved and not have to travel so much?
Yeah, my partners at Gladiator Sports, we're in partnership with the town of Ringwood, New Jersey, and we're going to be acquiring a good piece of land over there that we could use, whether it's leased or whether we buy it, to actually be hosting obstacle course races events. And the main focus with that at Gladiator Sports is going to be inclusion. And that's exactly what we just talked about before. And that is getting anyone and everyone involved in obstacle course racing. We're going to be hosting our own training sessions. We're actually going to be putting on a few of our own races. But we're going to be trying to bring in a lot of the race series to come and actually race at our place. But the main focus is going to be on inclusion and getting as many people from different walks of life involved as possible. You don't have to be the best athlete. You don't even have to be an athlete. This is a sport for anyone to do. And the great thing about it, going back to a conversation we had before, is that it's diverse. It's using all your different athletic abilities. So whether you're just doing it to have fun, just to get in shape, to meet new people, you're going to get all that. And you're going to be challenged a lot of different ways athletically. And it's a great way to train for any other sport that you're doing in a fun, productive, very cool way.
So you're an incredible speaker here and guest I have on the show. I really appreciate you coming
on.
Yeah, man, it's very motivating, inspiring, and your self-realization when you mentioned the choice and all that good stuff. So if you're sitting there writing a memoir, a blog, a book, whatever you would call it, about the life lessons that come out of your sport, you've already sort of mentioned it in a way, but what would it be about? Because there's so many I'm hearing right now.
Personal sacrifice and inclusion. Sacrificing your time to, you know, work hard, sacrificing your time to help others, and including as many people in that as possible. The more great people you bring into your life, the more great relationships you're going to have, the more you're going to learn. And the harder you work and the more work that you put into it, the more lives you're going to be able to touch.
Well, we have a saying, effort over results. And I always, always encourage that. It's such an easy thing to remember. Oftentimes, as we know, especially at the youth level, listen, I'm all about competition. I'm extremely competitive myself, but it really is about the effort. It's not about the result. And if we're focusing on that scoreboard all the time in whatever sport or whatever endeavor you're doing in life, you're missing out on all these intangibles, as you just mentioned. Who Are You Nation? As always, during our show, we're taking a short break to remind you that if you're enjoying this free podcast, please show your support for the show and our special guest by heading over to whoareyousports.com. Click on the subscribe to iTunes icon on the right-hand side of the page, where you will be directed to iTunes, and then leave your rating and review. Taking this action step of appreciation means so much to the show, as well as our featured guest, and providing a 5-star rating is a simple and great way to do so. And to thank you for taking the time to rate the show, I will personally recognize you at the top of an upcoming episode for the entire world to hear. Well, here comes the buzzer, so that means it's back to the podcast, and you will not want to miss the rest of the journey, including our most popular topics, the timeout and overtime part of the show. We have two sections here I'm going to go into. One is the timeout, and the other one is overtime. And in our timeout section, you've already shared an incredible story with us. But as we know in traditional sports, timeouts are called to either formulate a plan or to hopefully stop the momentum that's working against us. Can you recall a story where the momentum was against you, you called a timeout in your own life, and were able to reverse the situation?
That's a really interesting question. The last time going back, not to be repetitive, but the last time I really took a major timeout was when I had that ski accident. You know, the last time I had to be when I hurt my foot. I hurt my foot really bad, and I had some serious nerve damage, couldn't run. It allowed me to reflect on, like, what I wanted to do as far as obstacle course for training went, and racing, where I wanted to be. I started putting together a book during that timeout. During that time I had down, I started reflecting back on all those little lessons I had learned over the last 6 months. And basically what I started putting this book together was all these little things that you could do in your life that benefit your life, that make your life more special by helping somebody out first, by doing some random act of kindness, or either a random act of kindness, some form of charity, or some just small act of helping somebody else out, asking nothing in return, and how things in your life got better because of that. Like, for example, I had one of my best friends in the world right now. His name's Andrew Tolosi. Andrew was in a car accident, and he had some serious intestinal injuries, serious digestive tract injuries. Kid was a legit college football prospect. He was going into his senior year. He went from 175 pounds to 112. He looked, when I first saw him, when I first met him, he looked like a sickly eighth grader, is how I quoted it once. He didn't look like somebody who could, you know, withstand a stiff breeze, let alone a linebacker coming up to hit him when he was running with the ball. I made a commitment to him. I told his parents, I said, listen, don't worry about money or anything. The only thing I ask in return is sometime later in life, he does something to help somebody else out as well. That's going to be the payment here. That's the price of what we're doing. And Andrew and I would meet 4 to 5 days a week. Not only was he able to come back and play an extra year, he got some eligibility back. He came back even better. He just finished his junior year at SUNY Cortland University, where he was named first team all NJAC, which is the conference that he plays in. And I made a friend for life, not only with him, but with his family, with his sister, with a lot of his other friends that through that brought new relationships into my life, as well as new business. It was through those relationships that I found the house that I live in now.
Wow.
It all goes back to that one choice. And so reflecting on that, it all goes back to, again, that bad choice that I made to jump off that cliff, the good choice that I made to change my life, and then having some of the time to reflect on that when I was injured, to actually start writing these things down.
Yep.
And while I was writing those things down, it inspired me to help somebody else out who came along my way. So during that time out, it really gave me a major perspective. And through that, I literally gained so many amazing things in my life from that. And it all started with helping that one kid out.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
I'm sure it's been said elsewhere, but a really close friend of mine and mentor of mine recently said, before the turn of the year here, he said, isn't it, life's so interesting. You face all these forks in the road, but looking back, those forks become straight lines. You know, somewhere down there, you got to believe it all happens for a reason. I think that this reflection, that opportunity of you're hurt, you're injured, well, you either sit there and turn on the Sopranos and watch all 50 versions of them or whatever you're going to do, right? Or you're going to do something constructive and you're going to take advantage of the opportunity and give back. And whether that's giving back to yourself or others at that time, it turned out to be others. So, well, I have to ask, is this book out there in public?
No, it's not. It's something it's a work in progress because you got to live life first.
Yep.
You have to live. I just don't want to talk about these things as something I haven't done. I want to do these things first.
Yep.
And I can't talk about how something's benefited on my life unless I've actually done it first. So it's just every year I just compile more things on this list, and I'm going to pick the things that really meant the most to me, eventually put it out. So I'll let you know when it comes out.
Please do. We have a section on our website. It's called Inside the Locker Room, and we always want to stay in touch with our guests and find out what they're doing. So please keep us posted. So we're going to head into overtime here, Kevin. And first question is there such thing as overtime in what you do? Or does it end? It just ends.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, you think it just ends until you wake up the next day, and then the next day, and the next day, and you still feel it. So, The older I get, the more overtime I'm in.
There you go. Well said. All right. Well, there's a good overtime there for you. So in overtime, like to find out a little bit more about you. The first thing is a constructive habit, something you do daily, something that our listeners can pick up on that you do that's in a very constructive and healthy way.
It's very simple. I wake up every day. I thank God for everything I was blessed with. I thank Him for putting me in a wonderful home with a roof over my head. I thank Him for being on this beautiful lake with the gorgeous views. I'm thankful for everything that I have in my life that's good, and also for the challenges ahead of me, because I know they're going to make me a better person. And I just ask for every day, no matter what comes into my life, be able to see it as a gift and to make the best of whatever it is.
Now, this question is going to be tough because I know your DNA. I can hear it. I can hear your passion. But have you ever been in the middle of a race? It's just maybe not your day. I don't know what it is. But you're going, I do not think I can finish this. Does that happen?
Almost every race, I ask myself, why do I do this? There comes that point, like, why am I doing this? I could have picked something totally different. But once you get used to saying it, you're like, all right, just keep going. Because I got to tell myself that in an hour from now, I'm going to be done with this. And I'm either going to be happy I continued and gave it everything I had, or I'm going to be absolutely miserable and I'll never let it down in my own mind if I didn't give everything I had at that point.
There you go.
So what keeps me going is the absolute fact that I will be so disappointed and hard on myself if I ever quit or ever let up.
Yep.
You know, and there's plenty of times where I won't quit. There's plenty of times where I just want to say, man, can I just twist my ankle now so I'd have a good excuse to end this? You know, but that thought leaves my mind pretty quick, but it always creeps in. It does. You know, and I'm not immune to that. I'm not too proud to say that it doesn't. Nobody's immune to that. But it's like when you're able to overcome that is what makes you stronger and better.
I appreciate that honesty, and I'm sure that's going to help others get through the race as well, and it's good to know that thought process out there. I'm not comparing the two at all, but we have an upcoming guest, Stefan Bonner. He's an MMA Hall of Famer, and I actually asked him the question. I said, well, what's going on in your mind as you enter the ring? And, you know, of course, it's a cage match, and very gladiator-like and Spartan-like itself. And he says, well, there's all this chaos before the event and people are asking questions and promoters are in there. And then all of a sudden everybody leaves and they lock the gate. And I said, okay, well, what are you thinking at that moment? And he said, I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing in here? Not that I want to go out and get the other guy. He's like, what? How did I get to this point? But then, as you said, that instinct and that drive and that mental toughness is so important to get through. And it really is amazing what our minds can do. And of course, what you just said is a tribute to that. Well, here's a good one. You played baseball, and I know you're a multi-sport athlete. I just handed you a baseball bat. I put you in a major league uniform there. I don't know whether you're a Sox or a Yankee fan. It's hard to tell. I'm going to go with the Red Sox since they won the World Series.
Definitely not a chance. I'm a Red Sox fan.
Reveal. Okay, so you're at Yankee Stadium. All right, fine. What is your walk-up song? As I just gave you a bat, and you're walking up to the plate, and now you're up against a different foe. This is against somebody who's not a hill. It's not a rock. It's not a bag of gravel. This is a pitcher. He wants to get you out. So what is the song playing over the loudspeaker that you are listening to as you approach the plate?
Listen, I'm going to get all Derek Jeter on you because I'm probably going to have at least two songs. So one would be, I'll go old school, new school on you. So old school song would be Bob O'Reilly, The Who.
Yeah.
All right. That you got to have that one. That one's perfect. Or right now, definitely be Radioactive, Imagine Dragons.
Nice. That would be two great songs. Derek Jeter, wow, good stuff too. Love the walk-up song. So how about a favorite sports movie?
Miracle. Love Miracle for everything that's about. All these guys coming together and they hate each other and they come together through hard work and through an impossible dream. And the best part of it is, you know, it's a true story.
How about a book you're reading right now that you could recommend to Who Are You Nation or something in the past that you've really just resonated with?
Yeah, I tell you what, something that I've read in the past and that I like to pull things from a lot is Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. I mean, talk about life lessons through a perspective of someone who's engulfed in sports as much as Mitch Albom is and someone who is able to articulate the other parts of that world as well as he can through a man who's dying from ALS. Yeah, he's dying, but he's living at the same time. If you've never, it's like all the listeners out there, if you've never read Tuesdays with Maury, it'll really give you a deeper insight into how we approach death as individuals, but also as a society. You read that book, and not only is it going to enrich your life, but it's going to give you a different perspective on the last days that we have approaching our ends. It's quite provocative. I loved it.
Who Are You Nation? Definitely pick up a copy of that book. Fantastic. I know there's a movie as well that was made, but the book is the one to go to for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you're the host of this show. I just gave you the microphone. Who is the one person that you would invite to start off your series of Who Are You? Life Lessons of Sports?
Well, if I had to pick one person, it'd be the late, great Shane McConkey. If anybody doesn't know who Shane McConkey is, he was probably the godfather of extreme skiing and in the skiing world. Unfortunately, he passed away in an accident, a ski accident, about a year and a half ago. I had the privilege to meet him at a movie premiere about 4 months before he died, and he was the coolest guy you'd ever want to meet. He was the biggest rock star in skiing that there will ever be, and he was the most down-to-earth person you'd ever want to like hang out with. I'm not even a drinker, but I was like kicking back by the bar with whatever I had in my hand that night. And he has a beer. He's drinking a Heineken. And here we are watching his ski segment for this movie. And he's just hanging out with me. And at that time, like, he doesn't know who I am. I just introduced myself like 5 minutes before. And he spent the whole time hanging out with me, chatting me, treating me just like one of the guys. And the stories that this man had to tell. So if I could pick one guy, it would definitely have to be him.
I know I've heard the name, but definitely worth looking deeper into his life because obviously made an impact on you. Now, I know you have a story potentially later you're going to share, but in terms of a charity or foundation that you support, could you please give us the name of that and we can put that in the show notes as well?
Yeah, sure. I actually represent and help out with two charities. One is called Eleanor Rocks. And what Eleanor Rocks does is they raise money for families who have terminally ill children, and they supply them with rocking chairs for the hospital room so they could spend more quality time with their children while they're in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And the other one is called Team Winter. And Team Winter raises money for prostate cancer awareness. The young lady who started up the charity, she's 15 now. She started it when she was 9. And she's been doing athletic events all around the world, whether it's skiing or running marathons or doing obstacle course races as well. Now, to raise money, triathlons, to raise money for prostate cancer awareness, which unfortunately right now affects 1 in 6 men, which is crazy considering that breast cancer only affects 1 in 10 women, and prostate cancer is a lot more prevalent, but gets kind of ignored sometimes because we love our moms so much.
Right.
So like most guys, we don't think about ourselves getting anything. We think about our loved ones. We always think about the important women in our lives. So this kind of takes a back seat sometimes, but prostate cancer it's very prevalent, among men, 6 in 1 of us get it. So it's important to go out there and get checked. And if you want to learn more about it, just go to teamwinner.org and you'll find out a lot more information.
Fascinating foundations and charities. So we will keep those on our show notes as well. Kevin, you're such an inspirational person. And I just got to ask, is there a way, if any of our listeners would like to reach out, how they can connect with you, whether it's on social media or another means?
Yeah, they could find me on Facebook. You could send me a direct message. I'm not shy on there. I don't really hide anything. If you're a listener on the show and you want to get more personal contact with me, that's totally fine. So it's just Kevin Donahue on Facebook, and you'll see my photo up there. That there'll probably be one from there that you'll probably post on the show, I assume, right?
Yeah.
So they could like kind of recognize it, because there's a million Kevin Donahues out there.
I know.
Unfortunately, I don't have a very unique name. Yeah, it's like Jim Smith. But I'm also on Twitter at KDonahueLives, and that's KDonahueLives lives. And I'm also on Instagram under the same name.
Well, I can tell you that there is a picture. I don't know if this is the one you're speaking about, but I know if you look at the Spartan Race website, there's a picture of you that I think separates all the other Kevin Donahues in the world from your intense look. It looks like you have just finished or in the middle of an event, and that is clearly how we'll be able to recognize you, because it is a powerful picture. So,
thanks.
Yeah, very cool. So I do have one last question for you. But before I do, Kevin, I just want to say it has been such a sincere honor and privilege to speak with you today. I know our listeners are already well aware, but they could check out our website, whoareyousports.com, listen to this interview again, and find the links to everything we've spoken about, the book, the resources, your quote, contact information, and the foundations you just mentioned. So, Kevin, I want to welcome you to our podium here and congratulate you, because you've officially been inducted into Who Are You Nation. Welcome to the team, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. It really was an honor and a pleasure. And thank you so much for reaching out to me. And I hope that I was hoping to share some things with you and your listeners that can help benefit you in just one small way. But I got a lot out of this. And I'm sure that some of the people that maybe heard this, maybe they could come into my life now and enrich my life as well.
Oh, that would be incredible. And thank you. So I did say I have one last question. And we were speaking before the show about your two dogs. I was very curious about the two dogs, because I'm a dog guy, as are a lot of our listeners, of course. You have Moxon and Burke. And I said very kindly, just sort of, I'm always curious where these names come from. And you actually had a pretty sincere story behind it. Do you mind sharing that story with us?
Who Are You Nation? Our guest is ready to go inside the locker room. Are you? Gain exclusive access to the story as well as those from all of our guests. Visit whoareyousports.com, where there is a page dedicated especially for all of our listeners at Who Are You Nation. Until next time, please remember, both in sports and in life, that it's not all about the scoreboard so much as it is about our dedication to becoming a better teammate, healthier person, and adopting an efforts over results mindset.
Got a question for you, Who Are You Nation? Have you ever been searching for a like-minded group who seem to always have that addictive positive energy and continually have their game face on? Well, now you can. Visit our website, whoareyousports.com, and apply to join this exclusive group by either looking on the right-hand side of the homepage for Join Who Are You Nation, or by clicking on Contact in the top navigation and clicking the appropriate button that says Apply to Join the Who Are You Nation Mastermind Group. To gain free access to our private forum of sports enthusiasts who come together for amazing resources, weekly webinars, forums, and tremendous giveaways. Join this select group today, as we are limiting our enrollment to the first 200 members into this unique community. And remember, there is no charge to join this forum.